So let's get into today's discussion again. Top 10 halachic misconceptions. Come on right here. Again, not 10, but just a number that we picked. So the first bunch have to do with food. Okay, misconception. Somebody's fleishik, and they take a little ice cream. Oh, I'm done. I'm milchik. I had milchiks by accident. You milchik now?
No.
So nobody here will think any of these misconceptions, but there are those out there that feel that. So we know there is a halacha. Again, they have some armakomos here. There is a halacha that one has to midrabana, one has to wait between milchiks and fleishiks. Fleishiks and milchiks, as you say, the Shulchan Aruch in source number one in Yeridea. Achal basar afilu shel chayev ha'of, lo yachal gvina acharav ha'shiyisha sheishos. Right? If somebody eats meat, so then one is not allowed to eat milchiks until they wait 6 hours. By the way, the Rambam's lashon is ki sheishos. That's where maybe the into the sixth, five and a half comes from, but the Shulchan Aruch left out the ki. Shulchan Aruch just says 6 hours. Sheishos. Vafilim shal kishir, v'chulu, it continues. V'yesh omrim, some say you don't have to wait six. There are different days in the Rishonim. Again, not our topic now. Some say to wait no time, just rinse your mouth out. Maybe just wait an hour. 3 hours is the least in the Rishonim, but that's the second most common minhag after the permutations of the six. But either way, this is the halacha. If you had fleishiks and you had milchiks, you're still fleishik, right? Nothing changes just because now I have milk and ice cream in my mouth.
How many does Rebbe weigh?
Six. I know in England most people weigh three.
Why?
Five.
501?
Five.
Okay.
It's like a fast day off.
Maybe some people say
better than 15 minutes.
I have no idea about any.
I did that, and I've heard other people who also do that.
I have never heard that. But 6 hours is 6 hours generally.
Where's the three from?
That's a good question. Where does the three come from? There are some.
You wrote shalosh instead of sheish.
Right. There are a couple of minority Rishonim that in the minority view Rishonim quoted it. Then it became a couple hundred years ago. Maybe that was in the winter. The Gemara just says between two meals. That's the only language of the Gemara. So maybe at certain times in the year, if it's a very short day, there'll be a short amount of time. It's not clear, but if that's your minhag, that's your custom. And therefore, one could rely on that. But one cannot take that custom if it's not your custom. Where might this misconception have come from? It's not really the same thing. But there is a shiloh, which again, if you never research the sugi, it's very fascinating. Let's say I'm fleishik, but I have my ice cream and I forgot. And I make a baruch, and then I remember that I'm fleishik. What do you do at that moment? You made a bracha on the milchiks. You're about to eat the milchiks, but you remember then that you're fleishik. So what do you do? So I would have said, say baruch shem, and just like. But Rav Avadya says in a tshuva, in source number two, and others talk about this as well. Like you just said, saying a bracha for no reason might be an issa d'araisa, b'shogeg, but issa d'araisa. Once you've waited a certain amount of time, an hour, so then at most you're violating is the derabanan. So says Rav Avadya, you know what you do? You take a little taste. You don't need the whole cone, but you take a little taste just to be yotze your bracha. You're still fleishik. But that's the that's what Rav Avadya says in source number two, that saying a bracha l'vatala might be midaraisa according to the Rambam, l'sisa shem l'kecha l'ashav, and because of that, once you've waited, so then it is you're able to take a little taste. But again, fleishik is fleishik. Yeah.
A different food that's also charcoal.
But you didn't have it in mind, unless you have it in mind. If you had it in mind, you could cover the other food, but if you didn't have it in mind.
You can't switch quickly, take a peanut.
No,
a peanut topping on top. Would that work? I feel like that would be.
I'm saying if.
It seems crazy.
I'm saying, but it's. Come closer, come closer.
I just never thought about that.
But that's the. Right here? Okay. Anyways, that's Rav Avadya, but that's generally what we would say. But again, once you're fleishik, you're fleishik, nothing changes. Number one. Number two. There is a misconception. You could use a kli once without toveling it. Have you heard that? You could use a kli once without toveling it. That I've heard. I've been asked that question. Oh, the first time you can, right? It's okay? No. That's not, there's no, there's, the Ramah says, Beferish, you know, in source number three. Right, a rishon also l'shamish v'l'sarch yisud. I feel a derech harai below tefila. You can't use it at all, even derech harai, even just you know, whatever it is, you know, in a temporary way without tefila, one is not allowed to do this. And the Chachmas Adam, the Chayadam says, even if you've used the kli 100 times, the tefila never dissipates, never disappears. I think I mentioned this year. I remember my first year teaching, 23 years ago. I remember I was giving a shiur and Tfilas Kalim came up somewhere in the Gemara. And it was like, I don't know, I think it was a Wednesday or Thursday. And the following week, the Talmud comes to shiur. Rebbe says, you're not going to believe where I was on Friday. I'm like, where were you? He says, I was at the Kalim Mikvah. Why? I came home to my mother and told her. This is a regular modern Orthodox family in the tri-state area in New York. And I came home and told about Tfilas Kalim. She had never heard of it. She called up a rabbi to ask if this is one of those new chumras of the young rabbis, right? So, it's a halacha. So we took all of our kitchen. They were married for 20, 25 years. Took all of their glasses and silverware. I was very inspired. You know, just like she heard that and she's like, oh, forget it. No, she did it. And she got up there. So the chiyuv tefila never disappears. The food is not ne'asar, right? Cooking in non-tovel kelim does not asar the food. But that is the but the chiyuv never dissipates. Where does this come from? Where might this?
Is there an isser involved?
Or
is
it's an isser of using non.
Okay, fine.
But it doesn't asar the food. So a whole shaila about what if you're being served on non tovel kelim? That's a big discussion. You know, the Rav Moshe talks about, well, if it's a plate, then you don't really need the plate. You could be eating on the table also. So it's not really using it. Soup, though, is more of a problem. So Rav Moshe says, just skip the soup if you know the tekelim aren't tovelt. Where did this come from? Might this misconception have come from? There is a halacha, generally, that disposable items that you only use once do not require tevila. So maybe from there, even things that are not disposable the first time, you know, it doesn't require tevila either.
Like we look at it as if it's disposable.
I don't know. I can't really explain it, but that's an extension of this. But again, it's not true. It's not true. But that's generally what we hold. We hold disposable items are there's no chiyuv of tefila. Even if I choose, as a big shaila, there are a minority poskim that say that, like tinfoil pans, the total tinfoil pans. Do you have to tovel tinfoil pans? Not a true question.
Do you have to tovel tinfoil?
Do you have a tovel? Not tinfoil, a tinfoil pan that you put kugel in.
I assume not.
You assume not? Most assume not. Most assume not. There are poskim that say yes, but we use it more than once. Inherently, it's disposable. Every time you use it, it gets worse than the previous time. Right? You could see that it was used. So it's disposable just because we choose to use it more often, you know, so then that's it still does not require tefillah. The opposite is true also. What if somebody is so affluent that they'll take real dishes and I'm only going to use this once and I'm going to throw it out each time after I use it? No, it still requires tefillah because inherently it's not disposable. Yeah.
Is there a lifnei iver by this? Like if you call up like a restaurant to like make you food and they don't have tovel kelim, they're making food for you.
So first of all, if it's owned by a guy, then it's not a problem. A guy doesn't have to be tovelos kalim. And there are heterim about a restaurant, because if you buy kalim, the Shulchan Aruch says, if you buy kalim not for use, but for business purposes, so then it's there's no chiyuv tefila. So some say a restaurant, the owner can never eat in the restaurant, though, then if it's because then it'll be for personal. So there are heterim in that case. I don't think it's lifnei iver. Okay, so that's number two. So we spoke about milchus and fleishiks. We spoke about using a kli. What about this one? I could learn instead of shalosh hodos. You ever hear that one?
It's happened.
It happened to you. Not people who skip shalosh hodos. There are those that try to defend themselves and say, I learn instead of shalosh hodos. Like, what does that mean? It's like, do you ever like skip lunch during the week and say you learn instead and you're not hungry? What does that mean, learning instead of shalosh hodos?
Take a nap during breakfast.
Right? Do you sleep instead of, food? What do you mean, learning instead of food? Like spirit, like the mun? Like spiritual? Like where does that come from? Is there a basis for this? So, This comes up somewhere. Yeah, this one has a basis somewhere, but let's see where it is. The Shulchan Aruch, we know you have to have three meals on Shabbos. That is a din, at least a din to Rabbanan, right, based on the Pasuk in Parsha B'Shalach. It says the word Hayom three times. The first two meals have a chiyuv to have bread. There's no options. The third meal should have bread. But it's not as mechuyif to have bread as compared to the other meals. There are many days in the Rishonim that, you know, you might be able to be yotzi with other things. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchos Shabbos, source number six. Tzorach la'asos b'pas. You need to use bread for Shalosh Hodas. V'yesh omrim shiyoch la'asos b'chom achal ha'asu me'echa mechabeshes b'nei dagan. Some say, any mezonos. A yesh omrim. So you can use things that are eaten with bread, like meat and fish. Fourth opinion, even fruit. Just in case you don't know what I feel, the first opinion is what you need to do, bread. Unless you're totally stuffed, which is your own fault. Our own fault. No, just don't eat dessert by lunch. You'll have room for Shalosh Hodas. All you have to do is eat one slice of challah. That's it. I can't move. I can't. So don't eat cookies for this. Don't eat the whole afternoon. And then, as one of my band once said, it's like, it's amazing. You don't have any room for dessert. And like the second Havdalah is over, three slices of pizza. No problem. You know, there's plenty of room. You know, it's a mentality. It's like, oh, Shalosh Hodas. Right? We're not eating it because we're hungry. We're eating it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for showing that Shabbos is a special, special day. But anyway, so you have four opinions quoted in Shulchan Aruch. You would think if there are four opinions, learning's not there. Learning is not one of the opinions. Right? There's four different opinions. Again, you should have bread. Somebody, impossible. So mizonos and the others. There are many shuls, I think, in the world that have a shear between Mincha and Ma'ariv. Right, the rabbi thinks that this is the only time. Sometimes people aren't going to learn; they're not going to come to a shiur before mincha, so they have a shiur between mincha and ma'ariv. So those shuls have to make sure to always put in the announcements: eat shalosh hodas before mincha, because you have to eat shalosh hodas. Where does this come from? This idea of learning? It's nowhere in Hilchos Shabbos. It's in a Magen Avraham in Hilchos Pesach. Hilchos Pesach. The Magen Avraham in Hilchos Shabbos says. Right, you got to make sure you have to eat Shalosh Hodas. But Hilchos Pesach, what's it doing in Hilchos Pesach? Erev Pesach Shechalias B'Shabbos. It happens every couple of years. Right, Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, so it's like that day that's impossible. Right, you have to you, the whole day. Right after like 10 o'clock in the morning, you're not allowed to have matzah. You're not allowed to have challah. So what do you do about Shalosh Hodas if Erev Pesach is on Shabbos? You got to have two meals by 10 o'clock in the morning, by 8 o'clock in the morning. Everybody davens early that day. Right, that Shabbos. And then, so you can't have anything to eat the rest of the day. But, except potatoes. But, so what do you do for Shalosh Hodas in that day? So there's all different opinions. All different opinions about what to do for Shalosh Hodas, because you're supposed to have Shalosh Hodas in the afternoon, but you can't have Shalosh Hodas in the afternoon, because you can't have chametz, you can't have matzah. So, many have two meals early in the morning, some have fruit in the afternoon. In that context of Erev Pesach Shecholis B'Shabbos, in that impossible situation, that's where the Magen Avraham, in source number 8, quotes from the Zohar, that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai used to learn Torah instead of Shalosh Hodas. That's where it comes from. So the post can point out, this is not quoted in Hilchos Shabbos. It's quoted in Hilchos Erev Pesach Shecholis B'Shabbos, where it's impossible otherwise. Number two is Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, who was what the Gemara calls Torasso Umnaso. Right? He learned every second of his life, and no, he didn't do half the Mitzvahs Derabbanan, because he was Torasso Umnaso. But we're not, even the other Amorim, we're not on that level. So one should not rely on this. But this is where it comes from, but it's not what we generally assume. You got to eat Shalosh Hodas. Men, women, children. Everybody's chayav in Shalosh Hodas. Okay. Continuing food issues. Other food issues. Giraffe. What have you heard about giraffe?
We don't know where to shecht it.
We don't know where to shecht it.
I think we do, no?
We do.
Right, kosher. You don't know what a shecht. Ever hear that? I heard that. I remember growing up. You hear that? That's why we don't eat giraffe. It's kosher. It's split hooves and chews a scud, but we don't know what a shecht it. That's wrong. Why?
We know
exactly what a shecht it. You know what? It's the easiest animal to shecht. Theoretically, it has a huge neck. You can check anywhere on the neck. Anywhere on the neck, right? The Gemara says in Chulin, Daf Chav Zayin, Source 9, Shechita Menat Savar, Nami Gemara, Shechita from the neck. So what's going on with giraffe? Oh, you go to any non-kosher restaurant, they're not also not serving giraffe.
It's really expensive.
Right, so it's expensive. It probably doesn't taste so good. It's impossible to hold a giraffe down to shecht it. Right, there are many reasons why, you know, even the goyim aren't eating giraffe meat. Because it's hard, and maybe it's dry, and it's for many different reasons, but it's not because we don't know how to shecht it. We know exactly what a shecht is. It's the easiest animal to know where to shecht. Can't mess up.
So it is kosher.
It is kosher. It is kosher.
Share trip to...
A share trip.
To
theoretically, it could be done. There would be no issue.
Yeah. Theoretically. It's just like, clearly, it probably doesn't taste so good because, you know, no restaurant in the world really has it.
Kind of like horse.
What?
Kind of like a horse.
Horse meat. Yeah, like, I mean, horse is not kosher.
No, but...
But in terms of the taste, right.
Is it...
I don't know.
The anywhere in the neck things by any animal or just, like, the non-birds? Because, like, turkeys have, like, longer necks also.
Turkeys are birds. Birds have different rules.
They do.
Different rules. Okay. Next. This is something that I remember. I've heard this also. If I talked after I washed, I have to wash again.
No.
If I talked after I washed, I have to wash again. You ever hear that one?
I assume not.
Now that we're saying it, you know, like you're on edge and you're like, wait.
Yeah, I do without bracha.
What?
I washed without bracha.
You washed without bracha. Okay.
That's what I heard.
That's what I heard.
So. You make kiddush after washing.
The Yekis make kiddush after washing,
the
correct.
Not talking is just not to have like a major hefsek, correct?
Yeah.
It's not like you literally can't say a word like...
You can ask for bread
things. So the Shulchan Aruch, you could ask for bread things even after hamotzi.
Yeah, you can ask for salt.
Even after you say the words hamotzi.
Kind of clarify allergy needs, like during, like as they're passing al challah, they'll be like, wait, can you have this? Can you not? It's like even after hamotzi.
Right.
Okay, I can have
it. Right, exactly.
It feels weird to talk after the bracha.
Yes, it does. So the Shulchan Aruch says in Source number 10 in Hilchas Su'uda, Yesh Omrim She'ein Tzorach Lizor Mi Lahavsik Benetila Hamotzi. There are those that say you don't have to be so careful about not being mafsik. The Yesh Omrim She'ein Tzorach Lizor. And some say, be careful, don't be mafsik. V'tov Lizor. This is about talking. This is not about touching something that you just wash your hands. Your hands can't touch anything else. So there are those that say exactly what Yosef just said, that maybe you shouldn't talk, so you keep focused and your hands don't touch anything. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch says it's a good idea not to talk. But the Mishnah Berurah explains. Mishnah Berurah explains that if somebody talked, as long as you didn't have any hesach hadas in terms of what your hands touched, you do not have to wash again. Do not have to wash again. I've been in houses where people turned around and started going to the sink. You know, after having toilet, oh, I forgot. I got to wash again. You don't have to wash again. You don't have to wash again. Even the Mishnah Berurah says, where it's on the line, if you shah harbe, oh, you hifsik bein time, even if you are mafsik. Answer alas of lethal yadav. Sometimes there are a lot of people, we have a lot of people in the house, and you usually have Baruch Hashem, but it's like, it's taking them hours to wash. So you learn something. You learn something in between. Right, there's a medrash. Tosos, I think, was a medrash that you know that the malachim are saying, or the Bnei Yisrael are saying that we're always that the schus. I forgot exactly how the medrash goes, but the schus of Torah always protects us. But then the malachim say, "Oh, I got a ton." Schus of Torah after they washed while they're waiting for everybody else to come to the table. Nobody's learning. It's a terrible kitruk. Like the sultan's going to be. So that's what the Medrash says. Okay, that's why we have salt on the table. There's a bris melech that we have with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and the salt protects us. Okay, so I don't know if it's mashma there that you shouldn't learn, but people aren't learning sometimes because they're waiting for everybody else to come. Yeah.
I don't know. For some reason, I don't know if this is by everyone, but it feels like it's like a prohibited thing to like speak. Like whenever everyone sits down, like.
Right. Like, so you shouldn't talk. The Shulchan Aruch says don't, because once it's open, once you start talking, forget it. So you shouldn't talk. One shouldn't talk. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, Sarach Lizahir. You should not talk. But if one did talk, you know, then one does not have to wash again.
A lot of times in yeshiva, there's no salt on the table. Does Rabbi recommend learning?
Sure. I always recommend learning. I always recommend learning. Okay. Next. If I forgot to bench, finish my sentence.
Within 72 minutes.
Within 72 minutes. If I got the bath today, I have 72 minutes. I have 72 minutes. That's not exactly correct. The Shulchan Aruch says you have as long as you are still full from your meal. It could be even longer than 72 minutes. It's not like 72 minutes, boom, right? No longer connected to your food. The Shulchan Aruch in source number 12. Arei masa yochal avarach ad sheyisach lamazon shebemeyav, until the food has been digested. V'kama sheyiro kol sheban sheyinoroyev machmatoz ochila, as long as you're not hungry. As long as you're not hungry. Meaning, 72 minutes does have an issue. Under 72 minutes, you for sure have to bench, even if you're hungry again. It's just that above 72 minutes, if you're not hungry, you still have to bench. It doesn't run out at 72 minutes. That's what the Piskei Tshuvos explains in Source number 12.
72 minutes from when you start or from when you...
No, from when you finish.
When you finish eating like any food. So you could do like every hour you have, let's say, like a gazaya.
Continues your meal.
And then you could be starving and still make it.
Yeah, I think as long as you have that. But again, that's also 72 minutes. Also, so I that's what I always thought. But it's not true. It's not true. It's up to 72 minutes. You for sure have to. But afterwards, you can still, depending on the situation. A kos for Birchas Hamazon is a Sudas Mitzvah thing. Anybody here use a kos for Birchas Hamazon?
Yeah.
Every time?
Yeah.
Every time you bench?
Yeah. It started like recently, like 2 years ago, when my father heard a share about it.
Oh, okay. So even three people?
Yeah.
Even three. Awesome. So there is a discussion in the Rishonim, but it has nothing to do with Sudas Mitzvah. No, we do it by Sudas Mitzvah. But the Shulchan Aruch quotes... Right, Yesh Omrim in 13. Shebirchas Hamazon to the coast. Afilu biyachid. Some Rishonim say even one person benching. You bench all a coast. Vazorach lachzor alav. You got to try to do your best to get a coast. Below yochal amin lakos lavarich alav. Umatzabe ef shishilov. You'll have one. V'yesh Omrim, maybe only three. Yesh Omrim that it never needs a coast. Okay, mitzvah mena mufchas. This is something that's generally... This halacha has really fallen by the wayside in most places. Nobody benches ala kos. Some say that the Mishnah Berurah discusses it. Minag olam is lahakel. It's for sure by three. Some people are makbid by ten. There's a minyan, right, to give it more chashivas. You're saying Hashem's name. So some say if you should have a kos by one for sure, makel. Three is questionable. But the minag olam is not to be makbid. About it. Again, the Piskei Tshuvos discusses maybe throughout the Doros wine was scarce also. So the Minhag developed, you know, didn't have too much wine anyway. You want to save it for Kiddush or Abdallah. So the Minhag developed not to do it. But, you know, it's, you know, the more you do it. So at least some people do it with 10. Yeah.
In my house, sometimes after the benching, we don't make the bracha and we pour it back in because it's still benching a la kos. That was like part of the whole shir.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. As long as you're right. If you drink a little bit of it, you cannot pour it back.
Right.
Because that makes the whole thing pugum. Interesting. Okay. So that's in terms of benching alakos. Those are all food issues. Let's move over to shul issues. A couple of shul issues. You can't look at the Kohanim's hands because the person's going to come blind if they look at the Kohanim's hands. Did you hear that? Like the rainbow.
My fourth grade told me that.
Right. Well, we got a large percentage of Kohanim here. I'm telling you, right?
Three.
Five.
I'm saying, what? We got three, out of eight right here. Right? Unbelievable.
No, Ben's not. Ben's not a Kohanim.
Okay.
Ben's
even though Kek. Right. K, but not. Okay. Anyway, so where does that come from, the idea? Where does that come from, not looking at the Kohanim's hands?
Because when no talis, you can't. And then, like, do big as Kohanim, you're not allowed to.
Why not?
Because you have to know it's from Hashem, not from.
Oh, Kavana. So it doesn't really say anywhere about what we just said. The Gemara says in Chagiga, source 16, Kala mistaka b'shlosha dvarim einav keos. Anybody who looks at these three things, his eyes will become weak. Keshes, rainbow. Nasi, the king. Uba Kohanim. Right, in the Kohanim. But the Gemara clearly says these are the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. HaMistakel b'Kohanim b'zman she Beis HaMikdash kayam she'omdim al duchanim u'varchan et yisob shem ha'meforash. where the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash used to duchin, and they used to bench us with Shem HaMefurash. And Rashi quotes there, Shashchina Shorah Kishri Esposeim. The Shechin is on their fingertips. The Shechin on their fingertips, you can't look at their fingers, because the Shechin is on their fingertips as they say Shem Hashem. Does this apply outside the Beis HaMikdash? Does this apply to Berachas Kohanim? In the Gemara seems just says it by Migdash. So do you extend it? So if you look on the Rambam, when the Rambam quotes this halacha, he says, don't look at the Kohanim because it's going to be distracting. Like what Yishai just said. Right? It's going to be distracting. Which sounds like, is that like a din? Like you can't? What if you're going to be totally focused by staring at the Kohanim? Right? Not distracting. Right, it's interesting that the Yisraelim have to be focused on the bracha, not just the Kohanim. Right, the Rambam says, "Ein adam rashay l'stakel b'fnei Kohanim." It sounds like the face of the Kohanim, not just the p'nei Kohanim. B'shashim, I'm in source 18. B'shashim mevarchen asam at the time they give a bracha. K'dei shelo yasicho daitam. That there's no hesach hadas. Ela kala'am miskavnim l'shmo bracha. The whole am should have kavana to hear the bracha. U'machavnim p'neim k'neged p'nei Kohanim and folk face to face. V'inam abita b'neim. Right, some people are so far as they turn around. They don't look at this. So they have their back to the Kohanim. That's not allowed. That's like, not just like anti-minog, but that's wrong. You have to have punim k'neged punim. You have to be facing the Kohanim. But again, according to the Rambam, it has to do with just kavana. And if it's just with kavana, so then l'chora, you know, there's no mamish iser, you know, what the Gemara was talking about, bizman hamikdash, but not shalo bizman hamikdash.
Earlier this year about the Rosh, where somebody asked, about somebody who asked about like doing Birkas Kohanim. No, it's like the paralach about doing Birkas Kohanim.
Yeah.
And if you've got a mum.
So again, right, if you have a mum, so that we say not because that will be. Right, we did it earlier. If you have a mum, you can't. Oh, that now I got what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. About the reason. If the reason doesn't apply anymore, then the halacha might not apply anymore. So the Beis Yosef says because Kohanim cover their hands in the talis now anyway, then even if they have a mum, they should be able to duchen. Right. So that's what we did that the reverse. But it sounds like right that they were looking. They were looking because it's only because now they have a talis, so it's not a problem. So they see the Kohanim's talis. But yeah, but that's the Bashus Meikra Din is not. But the minhag is. The minhag is not to look, right? The Shulchan Aruch says, they don't look up. They look down. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Facing each other, but they look down. Okay. So that's in terms of Berachas Kohanim. Set next. So in Shul, Rashi's daughters wore tefillin. You ever hear that? Rashi's daughters wore tefillin. What's the source for that? There is no source. We know Rashi's daughters must have been something. You know, that's the Rashi's daughters. And, you know, one of Rashi's daughters had Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam and the Rivam. But there is no evidence to that. We know women are pturos from tefillin. Right, the Shulchan Aruch says, Nashim avad p'turim mitfillin. It's a mitzvah that says shazman grama. Right, we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yantif. You know, there are those that say that women shouldn't wear tefillin. Not just not. A, two reasons. Number one, there's a Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel that says, since it, you know, for years and years and for thousands of years, it is only men wear tefillin, women never took it upon themselves, has become to mean Begadish. It has come to be Begadish, and therefore that is one reason why women shouldn't. But the other reason that, they're even more basic. We men used to wear tefillin all day. We used to wear tefillin all day. Why did we stop? It's hard to have focus and not to have any hesach hadas, right? The whole day you have to keep focus and a clean mind and a clean body. So it's hard to do that all day. But we don't have a choice, so we have to wear it at least for davening. But we minimize it as much as possible. But we recognize we're human, so that's why we minimize it as much as possible. But ain't brayer, you have to wear it at some point. Women don't have to wear it at all. One shouldn't. There's a downside. Usually, Zman Gram is usually they don't have a downside. There's no risk. So, might as well sit in the sukkah, hear shofar. Like, what's the downside? Okay, so it's Zman Gram, but do it anyway. But here there's a downside. There's a downside, and therefore one has to keep, you know, perfect mind and a perfect body. So men don't have a choice, but they've minimized it as much as possible. But women have a choice. Therefore, they shouldn't. So they shouldn't. So and many times, you know, there are a lot of other things that we should first work on the things that we have to do and then go beyond that. But that's why women should not be wearing tefillin, because it's not something that, you know, there's no obligation on them. Oh, I could keep her clean. No, you know, it's not... No, we have to recognize, you know, it's not, these aren't things that are very personal, that I could do this. Man could say, yeah, I'm going to wear tefillin all day, I'm good. No, it's yura. It's yura, unless you're Rebbe Nevenzahl. But you know, it's otherwise, one should not be wearing tefillin all day.
So we minimized it for men and women, basically. We went to the minimum amount for men, and we went to the
Women, we never have evidence that they did wear, and we never said that they should wear. There's no evidence. So there is a Tosfos in Erevin, Torah 23 says Michal Bas Kushi, Michal the wife of Shaul wore tefillin. That's the only evidence that we have of a woman. But Rashi's daughters, there's no evidence of that.
So if you like learn after, you shouldn't know.
Okay, if you learn a little bit after that, you can keep it on. That's fine. Meaning if you're extending. Sfaradim put on tefillin for mincha on a fast day. I mean, so there are different minhagim, and if you keep it on after davening for a while, that's fine. But like to have it on just all day, like when you're driving and when you're like doing other things, and you know, it's not appropriate. Like if you're sitting and learning after davening, that's fine. There's nothing, you know, that's if you want to keep them on. Okay. What do most people do by Hagbah?
Pinky.
At the Torah. You got the whole hand.
Oh, I got it.
Okay. Oh, you got the second finger. You got the pinky, right? So many people, I think the most common minhag is put the pinky. Again, unclear. Giving Hashem a pinky. That's it? That's all Hashem's worth, a pinky?
It's a pinky promise.
What?
It's the pinky.
So the Shulchan Aruch's lashon is just to bow towards it. That's the Shulchan Aruch. Ma'ara p'nei k'siva sefer Torah, source 24. Lama omdim. Right? The magbia has to show the Torah to all those around. The mitzvah upon all is to see the ksav. I'm in 24. By the way, it says nashim, right? That women can see the Torah, right? When it's lifted up, right? Liros haksav v'likroa, to see it and to bow down. V'lomar zos haTorah Torah Hashem tamima. So the Rama, the Shulchan Aruch quotes that we bow. So. So the pinky is not in the Shulchan Aruch. If you look in the Piskei Tshuvas, he quotes Yesh Nogim Latzbiya Be'etzpa Hazeres. Shomer V'zosa Torah. Some have the pinky. Umakoro Kadmon. Yesh Nogim Lagos the tzitzes Ularos, and to kiss the tzitzes. So everybody keep it. There's nothing wrong with that minhag. That's a minhag. That's not like some of the other minhagim which are wrong. But this one is just like there's not so much base for it. But you know, bowing towards the Torah is the. Is the key. And whatever else you do, you know, one could follow the minhag, but there's no need. But one should try to see the letters of the Torah. Letters of the Torah, that's what we try to do. Okay. The last one regarding in Yane Shul. Yeah.
Does it have to be like specifically, like you have to see, like be able to read the words?
It's hard because like, if you live in a big shul. I know, yeah. So are those that are machped to like go closer to try to read the words. They say it's like something special, magical to your eyes to see the letters, the words of the Torah. But again, it can't be that everybody could do that because then it'll be impossible. So you have to try when it's possible, maybe just to go a little closer. But again, if your seat's far away, then your seat's far away.
And does the back of the Torah count?
Yeah, I don't know. I would try to see. It's the Magbiah's job to make sure all the people, all the sides are shown the Torah. And the Magbiah always like this also. The Magbiah has to make sure he's doing Kavod HaTorah, not Kavod HaMagbiah. You know, how many columns? You know, like you, sometimes you get the guys up there, you're like, okay. You know, like stretching before they're about to do Hagva. Like oh, he's a nine column man. You know, no, that's a Kavod HaMagbiah. That's not Kavod HaTorah, right? Hagva is about Kavod HaTorah. It's also dangerous for the Torah if you stretch it out even more. Good. Last one. And this one, many people do feel and think. My arm needs to be covered for Tachnun. My arm needs to be covered for Tachnun. For Nefila Sapayim. To put my head down. Put my head down, my arm needs to be covered. And therefore you find many people that if they're wearing short sleeves, okay, you can borrow a shirt, but what if they don't have? So they'll say Tachnun like this, up against the wall. You know, looking up, not knowing what to do.
It's
something like that. That's not the tzura of tachanun, and there's no such thing about your arm. There's no halacha about your arm having to be covered. Right? What's the halacha? The halacha is that when one does nefilas apayim, which again, in the base of Migdash, we went all down on the floor, and now we only do that on Yom Kippur. But when one does nefilas apayim, one needs a hefsik, a break between the face and the ground. You need a hefsik between your face and the ground. Otherwise, there's an isser called Evan Maskis. It's a pasuk in Parshas Bahar. Evan Maskis, the Shulchan Aruch quotes it in Source 27 also. The Goyim used to worship their gods on stone floors without any hefsik. So we have an isser to do that. One needs a hefsik. One needs a hefsik between the face and the floor. The Mishnah Berurah quotes, so where did it come from that people think their arm has to be covered? Because if I go down on my arm like this, my arm is me. So that's not a covering. So that's why if I go like this, that's I'm covered my sleeve. But if I'm like this, then my pants are also okay. My arm doesn't have to be covered. And if I'm like this, I'm over the table, that's also okay. And if I have a sitter, that's also okay.
Can I go like this then? Like just what? The table?
The tzura is to go on your arm. The tzura of nefilas apayim that Chazal instituted is on your arm. So that's why we go on our arm. Which arm? Again, the symbolism of which arm. You go on the weaker arm and tefillin the other arm. So the tzura is to be on the arm. But there's no din of having the arm covered. It's just you need a hefsik between your face and the ground. So it could be a table. It could be a shtender. It could be a sleeve. But the tzura is facing down. Facing down. That's what has to be. And again, not everybody realizes this halacha. Yeah.
So why don't Svardim do this? They just... I don't put my face down.
I mean, you don't put your arm down.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm saying so. Okay. There's different minhagim about whether there is putting an arm down. If you put an arm down, it has to be... It's called nefilas apayim. Right? That's what tachanun is called. It's official name. Right? Hilchos nesias kapayim and nefilas apayim. Right? That's the... yeah.
So this is also in the court for why, let's say, on Yom Kippur, with all the bowing and whatever,
yeah,
people have a mat on the ground.
Correct, correct. So people think that the mat, many people think that the mat is so you don't get your knees dirty. But really, it's not for your knees, it's for the face. Yeah. You can put something under your knees, too.
But if someone were to technically bow in a way that their face will not be touching the ground.
Not touching, it's not a question of touching.
Okay.
Even if it's space. Nefilas apayim, our face is not, by tachron, our face is not touching the ground.
You can use your sleeve on Yom Kippur also.
You could use your sleeve on Yom Kippur, too. Yeah. On Yom Kippur.
Is apayim hands? Apayim, all right. Is hands? I thought it was always face. Like
it's face. Yeah.
Also, nefilas apayim wouldn't mean that putting, you fall on.
I'm saying arm, no, no. Nefilas apayim putting your face down. But I say, what does Sfaradim do?
Sfaradim just read it.
Read it. They don't do any nefila.
Yeah.
Right. I'm saying so. It's I don't know. But that's nefilas apayim is the face going down. Okay, so that's also an important. Okay, one can use the sleeve, and like we said, in Yom Kippur, you got to have two. If you want to not get your knees dirty, you could get two paper towels. That's fine to cover the knees and to cover the face. Okay, a couple of other life cycle events. Finish up with these life cycle events, and maybe we'll end with one that has to do with tzubis.
Ready?
Yeah.
What if the floor is like carpet on Yom Kippur?
Ah, great question. So the poskim say that if it's wall-to-wall carpeting, and it's carpeting that is permanently part of the floor, it's balta to the floor. So it's not called a hefsik. It's not only stone. It's any floor. It has to be a hefsik. And even if it's carpeted, if it's wall-to-wall carpeting, so then that would be balta to the floor, and you still need a hefsik. Still need a hefsik. Okay. Next. There is a halacha, again, that sometimes people are not aware of, that we know there's no avelus befarhesya on Shabbos. We learned that earlier, daf dalet. So when does avelus finish, so to speak, on Friday? When does it finish on Friday? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes in Yoredeya, we did this, Shabbos yinam afsik v'avelus v'olim in yeshiva, Shabbos counts as a day of Shiva, sheksas dini avelus no'agim bo, there are some dini avelus that are no'heg, but when do you have to... stop. So the halacha is, well, let me say it this way. Many people out there think that chatzos and Erev Shabbos. Could already like change your clothes and sit on a chair. That's not true. The Pesachei Tshuva quotes from the Tshuvas that no, you could go back from whenever Shabbos is, go backwards within whatever amount of time you need to change clothes and to, you don't have to have nicham avelim. You don't have to keep the Shiva house open until then. You could close the Shiva house, but by after mincha. But in terms of getting ready and change your clothes and gun chairs, that is all only the amount of time before Shabbos that you need to get ready. Right? It's not chatzos. See, so quotes here from the Tshuva's Givat Shol. A little to change your shoes. Take a vacher chatzos hayom right after chatzos. When they cover Shabbos, toast. It's a mistake. It's a mistake. We have to go all the whole Friday. You know, maybe erev yantif might be a different, especially erev Pesach might be something different because erev Pesach itself is a yantif. So that might be something different. But chatzos is not a thing. It's not a thing in this regard. That's number one life cycle. This one is not so commonly thought, but the post can clarify it. I was asked this once last summer by a girl in camp. Am I allowed to wear a leather belt on Tisha B'Av? Am I allowed to wear a leather belt on Tisha B'Av? It was not halacha.
Din in the shoes.
Not even the comfort. Din in the shoes. Right? What if somebody wears Crocs the whole year? They're very comfortable. Can you wear Crocs in Tisha B'Av?
No, I'm saying, but isn't the reason why the leather shoes specifically were made usher was because in those days, those shoes were like the more comfort.
I know, comfort. They had the status of shoe.
Oh, okay.
Shoes were made out of leather.
Meaning as opposed to like whatever sandals they wore.
Right, or even sandals were made, but I'm saying, but yeah, that's true. But really, shoes, it's only shoes. Only shoes. You could wear leather yarmulkes, you could wear leather belts, you could wear a leather jacket, you know, whatever leather you could wear. The only issue is to wear a leather foot item. Foot item. We paskin that even if it's very comfortable, you're allowed to wear it, if it's not leather. Right, the Shlomo Zalman says in 32, min olam she'enem shalar, shoes that are not of leather, av v'shem no chabiyos, even though very comfortable. And you wear them all the time. There's no problem. There's a balamor that says maybe you shouldn't, but we generally are machmir, but are makel. But either way, it's about shoes only. Everything else leather. There's a lot of symbolism to shoes. Also, I think we might talk about this thought in the past about shoes symbolizes our dominion over the animal kingdom when we wear shoes. So when we take off our shoes, you know, we're kind of showing that we're not in charge. Okay. Okay, last one. The Badekin. Finish my sentence. What do many people think out there? The Badekin is to... Right, when the guy goes and does the veil thing by the girl before the chuppah. Badekin is to make sure it's the right girl. Say, not trick like Rachel and Leah. Many people think that. The problem is, if that's true, then you wouldn't go, what happens at the Badekin? What does to Badek somebody mean?
It's
Badek means to cover up. Right? If it was about checking, you would just like leave it up. But you go there and he covers. Right? Badekin is not about checking if it's the right girl. We learned Badekin. Right? Badekin is one of the seven shittas about what chuppah is, what nisuin is. But it's not about checking, you know, who the right girl is. Again, and that's, you have to get into the sugya that we discussed about nisuin before kiddushin. You know, that sugya, and whether that's appropriate, whether it works. But I give you a couple of marmakomos regarding that too. All different opinions about what chuppah is. You have that in the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Kiddushin. But either way, these are a couple of the other reasons for Badekin, but these are a couple of the common misconceptions, some more common than others, that we have in halacha. Any other questions about any other?
Yeah. The shoes thing applies to both Yom Kippur and Tishbol.
Yeah. Yom Kippur is daraisa. I mean, Yom Kippur, machlokas. There are some rishonim that say that only eating and drinking is daraisa on Yom Kippur. Right, the other ones are derabbanan.
Being a tam who holds that only one's daraisa and other derabbanan. And we say, just speak about like when you've got a view of the nidah. And
the Rambam. And the Rambam holds all of them. Yeah, holds all of them, right? Beautiful. Okay, so this is just a little bit of a misconception. But Hashem, tomorrow we'll start with Ksubas Daf Tes. Ksubas Daf Tes, Hashem. We'll get into it. Okay. What are we starting with? Probably a Shabbat.